You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
This darkness, dealing with this area of my life, whether it be with my family member or whatever it might be, this area of darkness that I'm up against, that's something that Satan is doing. Help me to see it clearly. Help me to see it the way you see it. And help me to enter into it and respond to it the way that you want me to, according to your word. We need God's wisdom. Wisdom comes to us by way of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, yes, first, it's the Word. But understand, the Spirit is the one who takes what you've taken in and helps you live it out.
The Army slips into the night, equipped with special night vision goggles as they navigate the land under the cover of midnight. It allows them to see even when their vision fails them. In the same way, you won't catch a glimpse of the schemes that Satan has lined up for you in the spiritual world. But you know that God can help you with that? Today, Pastor Bo shares how God's wisdom can help you recognize the enemy's schemes. It can act like those night vision goggles and help you identify Satan's plans. Now here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, The Promised Holy Spirit.
The Spirit of God is a major source of fresh vision. Come on, we got to get that. Where are we going? What are we doing? How am I living my life? Why is it so mediocre? How can it not be mediocre? That's where the Spirit of God comes in. The Spirit of God comes in and starts to give vision, dreams, so that you would not cast off restraint. See, vision, dreams, sort of this Spirit-guided, Spirit-given direction for living that comes from the Word of God, when that infuses my mind, my life, it enables me to go, oh, I better practice some self-control. I'm not going to be able to do that. Oh, I better obey what the Scripture says, or that's not going to be able to come to fruition in my life. So see, it gives me purpose. And now I start obeying the Word of God, obeying the Lord Jesus. I want to please God. Whereas if there was no vision, Spirit of God's not really welcome in my life. I don't really spend time listening to Him. Well, guess what else I'm going to do? A bunch of stupid, self-centered, pleasure-seeking, temporal ways of living. I'm going to cast off restraint because there's not a vision. There's not a burn. There's not a desire for something greater than what I'm experiencing right now. And I'm telling you, that comes by way of Christianity, by way of the Holy Spirit into the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit is the agent that brings that into your life, into mine. So I just want to caution us against any positions that are always sort of boxing in, boxing out the work of the Holy Spirit. No, we want to let the Holy Spirit in, in us, to come upon us, to take time in His presence. Here is another one I want to share with you today. Zechariah 12:10, and I'll pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is a term that's also used of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all that. A spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, and here you have some prophecy concerning Christ as well, on whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. All I'm wanting you to see here is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is promised upon the young and of the old. Here's the second point I want to share with you. The promised outpouring of the Spirit is given by Jesus Christ, okay? Most of you know that, you've heard that before, but let's understand this again together. Matthew 3, verse 11 says, I baptize you with water for repentance. That's John the Baptist, right? But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not even worthy to carry. He, that being Jesus Christ, John uses the term, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, I grew up in Pentecostal doctrine and theology. That's how I grew up. So most of my informative years learning all that, I understood that verse as it was taught to me to mean that Jesus is the one who baptizes me in the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire was always in there. And it was in there as though it was the source of energy, burn, passion, baptize you with the Holy Spirit in fire. And then there is also another way to interpret that verse of Scripture, that fire is also referring to judgment. And he will baptize you, John is saying. He is God come down on planet Earth, Jesus Christ. He is the judge of all mankind. He will baptize you, yes, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In other words, he will be the one who will judge all people. So I get that. I get both. And I see both sides. I am just sharing with you, and you can do that with, you can do whichever one you want there. I'm just telling you where my heart leans. My heart leans over and over again to this place of, well, I know Christ is judge. I know I'm going to see him. I know that's where people are headed who are not in right relationship with God is fire. I understand that. I also understand the Holy Spirit represented throughout the Scriptures. One of the emblems of the Holy Spirit throughout the Scriptures is fire. So I also understand that it is Jesus who baptizes me with the Holy Spirit. Now that on one side is referring to salvation, being baptized into the body of Christ, Jesus being the one who does that. He baptizes you in the Spirit, puts you into the body of Christ. Yes, I get that. And there's also the charismatic position that would say the baptism that Jesus is referring, that John's referring to here is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, after salvation, that he will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire, you know. So we good there? You're like, sort of, but that's kind of how you can, you know, people look at it like that. I'm just sharing with you my heart, just bow, just as a Christian. And up to this point where my heart rests, I know he's judge. And I know that he baptizes people into the body. I also know that Bo doesn't walk right without fire in his heart. Bo needs fire. Passion, truth, the word of God burning in my heart in order for me to be who he is called and equipped me to be. I can't do that without fire. Fire, fire, fire. Not some other stuff. Straight fire. Burn. And listen, guys, that's not for the preacher. It's Christian living. All you guys in our church, I love every single one of you, but don't separate me from you by way of calling. Oh, you're the preacher, so you're fired up. I'll come to your house and make sure you get fired up. Okay? Okay? But that's also not my job, in a sense, to go around all your houses firing you up, because I need fire in my own house. And we both have Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. We both have the Spirit dwelling within us. What both of us must do is appropriate what is ours. And how powerful then we become when we unify our efforts together for Christ's glory. When we serve God together in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's bad stuff right there. Crazy things start happening. Good things start happening. Powerful things on planet Earth start happening when brothers and sisters, Spirit-filled brothers and sisters in Christ who are under the influence and the leading of the Holy Spirit see the world as nothing but white to harvest. White to harvest. See, that's kingdom. That's Spirit-filled living. Looking out and going, Jesus said, the fields are white to harvest. But pray, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest that there be more workers in the harvest. Well, let's go. Let's go. What are you doing today at 3:00? I'm going home. Stop going home. Come with me. What are we going to do? We're going to go tell somebody about the Lord. I've got this need at the church. Somebody I got to go minister to. Come with me. Come with me to do that. Or you're at work, things you're doing, these relationships you have, these dynamics you have with people. Start seeing everything as white to harvest, white to harvest. Man, this is only point number 3. Here it is. The promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit is bestowed in answer to prayer. Luke 11:13 says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, it comes to us, I shouldn't say it, he, the Holy Spirit, is bestowed upon us, comes upon our lives in prayer. So it's not me going up and down this aisle over here and slapping all you guys with oil, you know, making sure you're spirit-filled. No. Going over here, no. Mm-mm. It's prayer. Saying, Lord Jesus, fill me right here, right now with your spirit. Come upon me with your power. Give me a divine enablement here to live for you. Give me victory over sin. This darkness, dealing with this area of my life, whether it be with my family member or whatever it might be, this area of darkness that I'm up against, that's something that Satan is doing, help me to see it clearly. Help me to see it the way you see it. And help me to enter into it and respond to it the way that you want me to, according to your word. We need God's wisdom. Wisdom comes to us by way of the Holy Spirit. The word of God, yes, first, it's the word. But understand, the Spirit is the one who takes what you've taken in and helps you live it out. Apply it to the situations. That's where you need the Holy Spirit. How many of you say, I don't know if it's how practical it is for you to say, Holy Spirit, help me. I say it all the time, and I give you that open up your vision there if you never really thought like that. And I mean, I do. I don't know how you feel about it, but I do that constantly just saying, you know, Spirit, something like, Spirit, help me. Is this pleasing to God? But it's always, I'm always leaning in asking for the Spirit's affirmation, leadership, and just influence in the situation. See, that is, when we talk about Spirit-filled living, that's what that is. It's a yieldedness all the time to the Holy Spirit. And I've been a part of growing up in, you know, charismatic environments where the Spirit-filled life was cast to me as some crazy thing. Spirit-filled life is all this just nuts kind of stuff. Spirit-filled living is very real. It's very practical. It's very everyday. It's very moment by moment. It's yielding constantly to the Holy Spirit, yielding my will to His will. And so constantly just coming up underneath His influence in my life. Number four, the promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit is received through waiting upon God. Now, I know that's kind of old school, and that's definitely a charismatic position to take. Definitely waiting upon God is, you know, they teach that a lot, and they get that from Acts 1 and 2. But the reason I'm okay with teaching it today and bringing it up like that is not so much from the way that the charismatics would say that or teach that. It would be more from the practical side of my pastoring people that would say, you know what we don't do anymore is wait. Like, we don't wait for anything. Like, you're waiting for me to be done. Are you? I mean, you're just like, land the plane, dude. I gotta go. You know, we just can't wait. And I get 45 minutes or so with you every week while you get hundreds and hundreds of hours in the world. And I gotta make all of God's truth happen and click for you in 45 minutes. I mean, it's impossible. I can't do it. You've got to be in the Word. We've got to worship together when we gather, hear the Word of God together, and continue to grow. But what I'm trying to say to you right now is the waiting is something that I do think, if I were to take what would be a positive from my charismatic brothers and sisters about waiting, it would be that. It would just be the waiting, the practical action of waiting. I took my iPhone to AT&T the other day, and I tried to get out of it and get into a flip phone. For that very reason, try to limit the distractions, you know, and I couldn't make it to the next day without it. I mean, it just was, the world is just impossible. I mean, I had a flip phone for 12 hours, and it was like, where'd BOGO? I mean, it was just like, if I wanted to just remove myself from planet Earth, that'd be the way to do it, I guess, you know, get a flip phone. But that's a joke, obviously, but it was just so impractical. It was beyond, it was just crazy. No offense to anybody who has a flip phone. I kind of envy you if you have one. It's, you know, way to go. Good for you. But I'm just bringing that up by way of illustration to say it is very, we are up against a lot when it comes to managing all these things that are coming at us all the time so that we can receive all that God does want to give us so that we can benefit from Him. There's so many benefits that He is wanting to give us and for us to experience that He provides, but it's often our inability to slow down and wait for Him. I had a very important meeting, and before the meeting, I knew that the meeting was important, so therefore I prayed. So I'm praying for a few minutes before the meeting, And what I do when I go to enter into times of prayer like that is I just bring my soul down. I try to just not pray, really, like not say a bunch of stuff, but I try to settle down. And so that's what I was doing. I was just standing in my office before a meeting. I just was like settling my soul just down. And when I do that, it's when God, in my experience with God, is when he'll speak very clearly to my heart. And I was standing there and I felt like what he just said to me so loud was slow down. And I was like, okay. You guys remember how many days they were in the upper room? 120 days. Some of us can't go 120 seconds right now. Just saying, man, let's just wait. Let's wait for the Lord to direct us. This relationship that we have with God is of the Spirit. In other words, he wants to speak. Your marriages are somewhat of a, they are not somewhat, they are an illustration of that. In other words, it's of the heart. The relationship is one that he's wanting us. Christ's relationship with his bride. So Jesus is the head of Trinity Church. He wants us, our hearts, our time, so he can speak to us. John 7:39 says, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper, Jesus said, to be with you forever. John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, Jesus saying, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Acts 1:5, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I have to skip number 5, I'm sorry. Personal cleansing is what we see in Scripture precedes the outpourings of God's Spirit in the Scriptures. So whenever we see God's Spirit poured out, something that we do see happen every single time before the Spirit of God is poured out is we see cleansing. Repentance is what I'm talking about. Acts 2:38 is an example of this. Peter said to them, on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come in you, dwell within you. But what was the precursor there? Repent, right? Repent. Acts 19:18-19, which were part of our reading this week. Also, many of those who were now believers, they came doing what? Confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. Some scholars I read valued it in the thousands, some into the millions of how much money all of that stuff would have been worth. But you see, that is what I'm talking about with when it comes to that point right there, what precedes the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that cleansing personally. So come on, let's be honest. What do I got? What do you got right now? At home, in your life, on your phone, in your car, that needs to be torched. You're watching things, you're doing things. I'm not coming at you like, oh, you better, you know, do a bunch of stuff in order to be right with God. But I will absolutely stand before anyone and say, if you want to be right with God, repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. Cleanse yourself of wickedness. Cleanse yourself of anything. Listen, here's a good way to try to understand or try to picture in your life. What could these things be? It's where your affections lead. It's where your affections go. My affections, yes, your desires. I want that. That's an idol. If it's not Jesus, it's an idol. You know what mine is? Food. Mine is food. Food is an idol for me. And if I don't change who I worship, it continues to harm me. So I am. So it's a worship issue. It's not a self-control issue. Though it is a self-control issue, but it's not like self-will, determination will win the day. That's what'll be the solution. No, I have a worship problem in that area of my life. There's an affection that leans towards that for some measure of temporal satisfaction. And it's fleeting. It doesn't give the true joy that Jesus brings to my soul and to my spirit. They're completely different. So I was walking with Sherilyn the other day, and that's what I was telling her. I was like, I've got to create an altar when I eat. I need to just be worshiping the Lord instead of worshiping indulgence. Anybody get that? We have these things, but I can't make that. Right now it's an idol in a bad way, and that's another message too. Think about it, work it out, make the connections, and then just be willing. I'm not saying to do this, but this is the thought I've had for a couple of weeks. It'd be so cool if everybody brought all the stuff they wanted to get rid of in at the office outside, and we just had a bonfire. You know, we just burned it, but that'd get us in trouble out there off of Ellis Road, probably. Cops would come out there and be like, what is going on at this office out here on Ellis? Did some business blow up? No, we're just burning Tom's porn. What? No, we're just getting rid of, you know, today, see, it's different. Today, you know what it is? You got to take your finger and you got to burn your app. You got to get your remote control out and you got to burn the thing that's on the TV. Cancel the subscription. You know, you have to, that's what it looks like now to torch something. It's different. It's a different day. So bring your faith into these areas of life and clean it up. Clean it up because it's the right thing for you. It's the right thing for your own life. It's what God wants for you, your own spiritual sanctification, your own growth in Him. It's what He wants for you. But also just understand there's a corporate effect. We won't experience the outpouring of God's Spirit upon our church, upon a community, until it precludes. It starts with a willingness to radically break from sin. I'm only going to speak to certain things enough to help you. I'm not going to come to your house and be like, now, Frank, why do you do that? You know, that's the Holy Spirit's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I'm not going to enter into that space, but I will try to bring up examples for you to help you make the connection. God, right now, I don't really care to please all of my extremely theologically conservative brothers and sisters. I want to pray right now for an impartation of your Holy Spirit to dwell in and upon all of the people in our church today. God, that they would experience such a power and such a peace that they know they could only attribute it to you. May you come upon them right now. May you come upon their homes. May you help moms and dads to pray for the Holy Spirit of God to come upon their children. That you, Holy Spirit, would be able to lead and influence our hearts. May we not lean towards anything other in our worship other than King Jesus. Lord, we love you, and we just pray that we would extol you more, that we would exalt you more as a result of your Spirit being at work and in us. We pray for this. Use us powerfully as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. We're so glad you've been with us. Perhaps some of the ideas you've heard today are a new concept. On the other hand, you might be well familiar with some of the thoughts shared. Whatever the case may be, we trust and believe that there are always new things to learn from what God wants to teach us. Pastor Bo will be back with more in our next edition. But before we go for today, we'd like to share a little more about who we are. Truth That Transforms comes to you from Trinity Church of Melbourne, located in Melbourne, Florida. To learn more about what we believe and to join us in person, here's our website, trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. We offer services on Sundays at 10 a.m. We also offer a midweek service for the youth on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Come with a heart to grow, being open to how the Lord is leading, and there will be much to gain. Again, our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. If you'd like to send us an email for any reason, Our email is info@mytrinitychurch.life. For a personal touch, you can also call us at 321-676-8992. One more time, that number is 321-676-8992. We're so glad you took the time to connect today. Pastor Bo will return next time as he continues to impart some important messages from God and His Word here on Truth That Transforms.
Christian has a spiritual bank account, but not every Christian is qualified to write checks.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why you may not have access to your deposits.
Only those who humble themselves before God will find their checks cashed at the bank vault in heaven.